coming on through and just stepping up to the plate. And we need more of us to step up to that plate. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I just got this weird feeling being up here. Are y'all awake? I mean, is everybody okay? It's like it's just that deadness around here. It's like, I don't think I'm supposed to preach your funeral tonight. I don't know, but I do get confused. All right, I don't know. Sometimes it's just like that, amen? I don't know. Just, what do? I just believe God. I just, you know, I don't know. Amen. That's another one of them songs, like Brother Russell was talking about the song he sung this morning. It's one of them songs, we'll sing it, we'll shout at it, but buddy, that's not real good, easy living, is it? Amen? And it goes along well with the service tonight. Again, we tried to preach this morning there. God told him to get up, arise, go, and hear. And tonight we're going to, I made mention of it tonight, or this morning, what we were going to look at there in the book of Daniel. And before you open your Bibles there, let's think just a moment. Now, I mentioned this morning. Most of us, and I have a hard time with this, it's just my mind and my flesh. Most of us, when we think about the story that we're going to look at tonight here in Daniel chapter 3, we know these three Hebrew young men thrown into fire, and most time we always name them by their Babylonian name, the worldly name, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And now let me ask you something. Don't cheat on me, and I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand. I thought about trying to give you a surprise if anybody can name them, but I want you to ask yourself right now, could you name their God-given name? God didn't give them those three names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But many times we, and I believe it's something we ought to work on, I believe we'd be better off to not call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and call them by their God-given name. Because the world calls us all kinds of things. Yeah, I got names I don't even want to, I couldn't tell you if I wanted to tell you. But, so, you know, I just want you to think about, you know, stuff like that, you know, it seems so little to us. And even our Sunday school teachers that teach our smaller classes, I believe that we ought to desire, as we teach, this is one of those stories that we usually learn in Sunday school as a young child. And most time we teach our children the name Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I believe our children would grow a lot if we'd start teaching them, as we teach this story, their God-given names. So look with me in Daniel chapter 1, and we'll look at their God-given name, and then we're going to turn over to Daniel 3. So if you want to stand with me this evening. I don't want to take time to read this tonight, but it'd be good to go back and read this tonight later or sometime this week. The thing that I think about when I read the book of Daniel, the first chapter here, I think about how we as God's children, and I know it's so easy, you can fall on, as I think Brother David says a lot, David Leslie says, there's a ditch on each side. It's so easy to if we're not careful, we'll swing just as far to the right as we do to the left sometimes. And if I'm going to fall one way, I want to fall to, you know, not toward the liberal side. I'd rather fall to the other side. But when you read here, you see a great picture, I believe, of what the world wants to do to the church. The church has. And is getting worldlier as we go throughout generation to generation. The world has put such an influx into our churches, and I believe that's because we've not stood with this book. I really do. But you can see how the king here brings in these Jewish or these Hebrew boys, and he wants to make them like them. And it's just the same thing that we're fighting today. The world don't care if you talk about God. But they don't want you talking about Jesus. The world don't care if we have religion. What they care about is when we begin to draw the line in the sand, and we didn't draw it, the Lord drew the line. They don't care if we act like they do. But when you begin to follow after Christ and walk away from the ways of the world usually don't like that. I've seen it in my own family. I've seen people, you know, you dedicate yourself, say, you know, and I, again, I'm not saying look at me, I'm more holier than thou, but that's where they want to run to. But the more you dedicate yourself to go with Christ, because Christ is going one way, the world's going the other. They're not walking side by side. How can two walk together unless they be in agreed? If you're walking with Christ, you're not walking with the world. And so the more you walk with Christ, the less of the world you're going to have favor with. And we see here how the king tried to take these young men and make them like they were. And that's what the world would like to do to us. And that's what's happening to a lot of people, is they're bringing the world in the church, and you can't tell the difference in a lot of it anymore. So that's what I see here. But look in verse number 6. Here's their God-given names. It says, and among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So there's your four Hebrew children there. So now let's go over to Daniel chapter 3. This is where we're going to look at tonight. We know this story if you've been in church any time at all, but I just want to read a little bit to you this evening. The Bible says there that Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. This is verse 1. Breadth thereof, 6 cubits. He set it on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried out aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship the hour, the same hour, be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso fall not down and worship that, he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, and here they use again the names they give there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Verse 15 says, now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear. Do you see the relentlessness of the world? They've already stood one time. And the king says, look, we're going to play her again. I can promise you the world don't stop. They're very persistent. They beat and 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 beat. And you think, Lord, will they ever quit? I can promise you on this side of eternity, you're going to have trouble in this world. The Lord told me that. I didn't figure that on my own. The Lord told me that. Verse 15 says, now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, ye shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that they were that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fiery and fire, and they have not no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains of the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither was their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angels and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which spake anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you again, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the good songs we've enjoyed tonight. God, I'm not ashamed tonight, Lord, to stand up and proclaim, thus saith the Lord God. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, it's not in my own power that I can say that. But God, there's something inside of me that's bigger than me, Lord. And God, as these young men sang tonight, God, Lord, I just believe you tonight. And God, I don't understand a lot of things. I don't know how things work. I don't know how it's going to come to pass. But God, I just believe you tonight. And Lord, I pray tonight, God, you put that in all of us tonight. God, just to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in your work, Lord. And we'll praise you for what you're going to do here. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated tonight. The thought that I have that God's burdened me tonight about is, as we look tonight again, most of us tonight we hear, oh, we're going over to Daniel chapter 3. Yeah, you know, we know about it's a children's story, yada, yada. But listen, don't let that get in your mind that way. Don't think, well, that's just a children's story. Listen, this is reality. This is truth. This is what God did. And we need to realize that tonight here in 2013. If Lord lets us live just a few more days, it'll be 2014. And the same God that was at work here for these three young men is the same God that's at work today here at Gospel Light Baptist Church. If anything's going to get done, it's the same God that I serve, and I hope it's the same God you serve. And so tonight we're looking. And the thing that's in my thought this evening, I said it this morning, notice that God saved these men not from the fire, but God saved them in the fire. Tonight, this morning we looked at the potter and the clay. Has anybody ever messed with clay like that? I remember when I was in elementary school, we had some lady that came by in 7th, 8th grade. And I remember they had potter's wheel, and we actually made a vase. Anybody ever messed with clay like that? A few of us. Well, there's an interesting thing about that clay. You know, you make that vase, you know, ooh, pretty now that is. You've worked that clay, you've made that vase, and it's so pretty, you know. You make, you know, you form it and everything. But there's something got to happen to that vessel. That vessel has to be put in the fire. Because if it doesn't go to the fire, it'll never hold its shape. Now, that's just the law of physics upon this earth. But that same law really works inside of us spiritually this afternoon, this evening. We this evening, we've got to go through tribulations. It's not the great tribulation, we know that. But I'm saying we've got to go through storms in life. Our lives, the Bible says, is full of trouble. There, we know, as the farts fly up, you know, man's days are full of trouble. As I've heard before, either you're going into a storm or in a storm or you're coming out of a storm. Life's tough. Life's hard. And I really believe tonight, church, and I mentioned this morning, there's some things on the horizon that I'm starting to see that worries me. not to the place that I'm running and hiding, but I'm saying there's things that I see coming, that I see that if it's not going to be long, that they're going to put a lot of things against the church. And I really believe tonight, church, that you and I, if you go back over to Daniel chapter 1, there's a word put in there that most of us forget about. Look at verse number 8. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel says, there's something in me that I can't just do what you want me to do. And we're talking tonight about when the fire comes, when troubles come. And there's three things, simple things tonight that I want to talk about or preach to you about this evening. Because I really believe tonight, church, the first thing we see here in this story, and again, it's not a story. This is something that happened. This is something that God recorded in this great book. As I mentioned, I don't remember when, Wednesday night ago or something. Out of all that God could have wrote, God gave us these books. 66 books. All the God of heaven could have gave us, and this is what he gave us. This is what we need. So, we have here an account of what God did here for these three young men. And tonight, I believe again, that you and I, you know, I know that I'm probably going to see some of these things unless I die at a younger age than I hope to. You know, I want to live just as long as God wants me to, but a lot of these young folks sitting up here, they're getting ready to face things in America that we had never dreamed about when I was their age. And we can't wait till the enemy is at the camp door to decide what we're going to do. And so as we look at this tonight, those are things that we need to get a hold of and get our hands upon. So the first thing I want to look at is the pre-part of this is here we have three men that were heading to a fire or into the fire. Why were they going? It wasn't because of their arrogancy. It wasn't because of their vulgarity. It wasn't because of their standing out in a crowd, you know, making a scene. They were being forced to the storm because they took a stand for what they believed in. They took a stand against not worshiping the God of the King Nebuchadnezzar. They didn't get in trouble for stealing a candy bar. They didn't get in trouble for not paying their taxes. They didn't get in trouble for speeding. They got in trouble because they stood up for the Lord Jesus Christ and the God of Israel. And tonight, that's the same thing where we're heading tonight. You can sit here and you think, well, that ain't going to happen. But friend, I really believe with all my heart it's already happening. And we just don't even realize what's taking place yet. Tonight, we need to understand that we're not on home ground. We're behind enemy ground. We're on the devil's territory. We're not walking in heaven yet. We're here on this earth, and the Bible says he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And friend, we've let our guard down. We've got relaxed. We've got customary, as they say, to what's going around us. And friend, I'm telling you, it's getting closer and closer and closer. And tonight we need to understand that we too tonight we're heading into something. And listen, this isn't just good for when the government comes. This is something I believe when the storms of life, no matter how big or how small they are, if you'll get a hold of these three facts tonight, I believe that it'll help you, it'll grow you to get you ready, get you prepared for what lays ahead. Have you ever, and I've made this statement before and it amazes me, I can't explain this. Yeah, we've heard account after account of some men that has done some heroic deeds over the last several years with all the wars that's been going on in Afghanistan and Iraq and all that. We've heard accounts of men that literally throw themselves on top of an explosive device and save a lot of their own men, but were willing to give their own lives to do that. Now, that's tremendous to me. I wish our country would make more of those kind of men than some of the knuckleheads that our country makes mention of. Yeah. I don't even know. I'm glad I'm not one of those preachers that can name all them names out. I don't know who sings songs today. I don't have a clue what young people are listening to because I don't listen to that stuff. I don't need to know. I don't want to know. But you know, that people today, they idolize so many things today. But I'm saying there's some true men that's gave their lives, that's done heroic things. And we ought to make much of that. But some of you fellas have served. And I know you've gone through that training of how to throw a grenade and all that stuff. And I don't know. I'm sure there's different types of devices and stuff. But when that grenade comes rolling into your feet, I'm sure you don't have a lot of time to think about what you're going to do. Is that a true statement, fellas? Is that true? I mean, we see the movies, you know, the grenade comes rolling in and they pick it up and throw it back. You know, that's Hollywood. I don't think that's a lot of reality in all of that. But what takes place in that split second when that man sees that explosive device, he makes a decision? How does he do that? That's my question, and there is no answer right now. We could have ideas. Do you ever think about that? I believe the greatest way to explain that phenomenon is to realize that these men have been trained and 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 trained. They can take a weapon apart and put it back together in the dark. They know every inch of their uniform and where everything is on their uniform. They know every piece of equipment they have and what that piece of equipment can do. You understand what I'm saying? It's called preparation. And I'm saying tonight, the first thing that I can see here tonight as we head into the storms of life. Listen, you might be in a storm tonight. It might be a little bit late on this part. But listen, when this storm's over with and you're coming out of it, I promise you, not trying to encourage you or nothing, but there'll be other storms. So don't get out of whack with me, you know. This will be good for the next time. But the first thing I see is these three Hebrew boys was heading into this fire is there's some preparations that have been made. Notice with me over there back in Daniel chapter 3. Notice their response over there in verse number 16 and 17. Says Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if it not be, it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Tonight, I believe, as we think about what could come, and I can stand up here and I can paint ugly pictures. I can sit up here and give statistics. And all those things might mean something to somebody. But it all boils down to is, what are you going to do? We talk big until we get to, into it. I don't know why this story keeps coming to my mind, but I'll tell it and then maybe it fits in here. I read a story this week. I don't remember. I wish I'd printed it out. But I'll give you the gist of it. It's talking about walking as a Christian. This zoo had spent all kinds of money building this new gorilla exhibit. I mean, they'd spent all kinds of money building this beautiful, elaborate, just like you were there. And they'd spent so much money that they didn't have enough money to buy a gorilla. So what they decided to do is they would hire an actor to wear a gorilla suit. Tony, the job's already taken. Okay. So they hired this guy. And this guy, you know, the first few days, he's sort of timid about standing out there in the middle of this beautiful exhibit. All these people walking by. He just sat there like a stump on a log, or not on a log, gorilla, you know. But as the days went by, he got a little more jovial. He started doing tricks, and he started really playing the part of a gorilla, and people were just amazed. One day he was showing out. He went running over there and he grabbed a hold of a limb and was going to swing out. And when he did, his hand slipped off and he went flying through the air and he ended up over in the lion's den. And said when he hit his on the ground, he rolled up and there stood a big old lion on there. And he started screaming, I'm not a gorilla, I'm not a gorilla, I'm not a gorilla. And said the lion went over and grabbed him and knocked him down and says, And then the lion says, shut up, dummy. You're going to get us both fired. Now, look, that's a funny story. It's probably all you'll remember tonight. But there's a meaning to that. He was happy being a gorilla until he thought he was getting ready to be eaten by a lion. I'm not a gorilla. I'm not a gorilla. We can stand here tonight and preach, and we can get in here and sing, and we can shout and amen. But the lion's not it. Well, he probably is here, but we're not threatened by him in here. But when you walk out them doors and you're standing at the workplace tomorrow, at the schoolhouse tomorrow, at Walmart tomorrow, wherever you are tomorrow, I'm not a gorilla. Don't eat me. You better purpose now. Now listen, I can't tell you what I would do. I think about what I'd like to do, but I can't tell you what I would do. I'll be honest with you, and as honest as I can be. I try to do that all the time, but one of the things that scared me the most about my life, right now I'm pretty much in control as far as able to hold my mind and my physical abilities and all that. What scares this person is one day I might not have the mental capacity to do the things that I do now. I say all that to say this. I don't want to make a rebuke. I don't want to make a mess or a mockery out of my Lord. Not now or not then. I want to go out serving Him just as much or more, I hope, than I do now. I hope this evening that's the desire of every one of us, that we want to be serving Him more when we leave here than we are now. But these men went through this fire. We know the story. How did they do that? It would have been very easy for them to bow. Oh, it won't hurt nothing. I'm still going to know something was bigger than what they were, and it meant more to them than their own life did. Now, I can't get us there. All I can tell you is there's a place called there. And I believe that you and I must begin preparing for those days now. I mentioned it when I prayed, be steadfast, unmovable, always about that steadfast. Tonight you need to put your feet down and listen, it's not us. I can't do this. There's an anchor it holds and it ain't me. I'm not holding on a rope either. I'm in the hand of a great big God. And one of the keys to this thing is to realize He already knows what your frame is. He knows what you're made out of. The key is to realize we know what we're somewhat know what we're made out of. We know we're apt to wander and run and hide. But tonight, Lord, would you put something in me that's bigger than me? Would you begin to show yourself more in me and less of me? That's the place I believe when you look at these three men. They didn't one day step up and they said, we're going to throw you in a burning fiery furnace. And they're like, oh no. They were gone from their house. They were captives. This wasn't home to them. Verse 17 says, if it be so, our God whom we serve. They were already serving that God. Tonight, I'm telling you, troubles come. And I'm talking small troubles. You know, not every storm's a hurricane. But I really believe, I know it works in our storms of this life as far as day by day, but I'm saying that we as God's people in America really need to start understanding that there's things coming down the line that's going to threaten what we believe. And I don't say that to scare you. I say that to prepare you. We serve now. Don't wait. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." If God be for us, who can be against us? We quote them verses. We sing songs like these young men sing, "I believe God." That's all well and good when you're standing here. But when the king's in front of us saying, "I'm going to shoot you in the head," then what? I'm saying that you and I need to start preparing today. Start hiding the Word of God in your heart. Start spending more time in a relationship-type atmosphere and prayer life with our Lord. So, first of all, we see the steps of walking to the fire. Psalms 46:1, "God is our refuge and strength." We looked at that a few weeks ago. Psalms 56:2 says, "Mine enemies would have daily swallowed me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Those are easy verses to memorize. We can quote them. We can read them. We can say, "Hallelujah, thank God for verses like that." But do you believe God? I'm telling you, there's some preparations. You need to start preparing. The second place I see here, not only do we see the part of going to the fire, then we see the actual fire, the storm. These young men were cast into a burning, fiery furnace. They bound them up, tied them, and throwed them into that fire. The thing that I want you to understand, even though they were bound by the world, they found liberty and freedom in the fire. Just because you're going in a storm shouldn't mean that you're bound. God has made us free. And that's that place in this fire that we need to understand that God has made us free. And then there's a great part about this fire that we all like to shout about. And I'm not saying it's nothing to shout about. Look there in Daniel chapter 3. Look in verse number 25. Well, look at verse 23. We read down. Verse 23 says, "And the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, 'Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire?' They answered and said unto the king, 'True, O king.' He answered and said, 'Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they that have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.'" Now, two things I want you to, again, draw out of this. The first thing the king saw, all his counselors saw, they watched and saw them bound. But when they were in the midst of the storm, they were bound no more. They were free. And friend, tonight, that's where you and I need to let the Lord have that control in our lives, that when we're in the midst of a crisis, when our world's falling apart, when everything that we touch is just can't help ourselves, just everything's falling apart. Friend, what does the world see? They see us pulling our hair out and biting our teeth and running here and there like a chicken with their head cut off. The thing that the world needs to see when we're in our storm is that the storm don't have us. They saw them loose. And as we go through the storm, you'll be amazed how what kind of witness you can be at the workplace and at other places in our lives when people are watching you. And they see you do something, see you come in, something crush you a little bit. My preacher used to say he'd mash his hand and people would stop and watch him to see what he'd do. He's just like the rest of us. He could have slung a wrench and started cursing and jumping up and down. Ain't that what most men do? Or you can grin and bear it, thank God for it, and move on. Tonight, we're not bound by the storms of this life. God's already warned us they're coming. God's already showed us that we're going to have these things. They hated him. He said, they're going to hate you. So don't let it be a surprise to you. Be prepared. Y2K's coming. You better start getting you a bunch of water. Better stock up some food. Power's going to go off. You ain't going to be able to buy no gas. People went crazy preparing for something that never happened. How much preparation are you making for your storms in this life? These young men made preparation. They stood up for their God, and it cost them. And it's going to cost us to stand. But even what they said, it says, if God does it, he says, verse 18 says, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God. God might not save you out of the fire. You might die in the storm. But I would rather die serving God than cower out and serve this world. But you got to make that decision. I can't make that for you. But Nebuchadnezzar saw him free, but then he saw another man. And boy, we like to shout out, woo, that fourth man, he looked like the Son of God. Let me ask you something. How did he know? How did Nebuchadnezzar know who that fourth man was? How? He built an image of himself and said, worship that. How did he know who that was? Let me give you a little of my theology. There's another story about another man by the name of Paul and Silas. They got arrested and thrown in jail. About midnight, guess what they were doing? Singing, praising the Lord. I believe that those three young men, when they fell in that fiery furnace, instead of sitting in their pity party, I believe they began to praise the God that they served. And I'm saying that to say this, if Nebuchadnezzar could have seen the fourth man in the fire with them, can your coworker, your family, your friends, can they see you worshiping the God that you say you serve when you're in your fire? How did he know that's who that was? I believe them three boys was worshiping the God that they served. So tonight, when we go knowing that their fires are coming, we need to prepare. We need to start making things ready in our heart. But when we get into those fiery places, first of all, remember that you're not bound by the fire. There's liberty, there's freedom, there's that in Christ. But then we need to make much of God in those storms. Boy, I've read, and many of you have read those great books back there, my brain just went dead. Help me out here. Let's see. Fox's Book of Martyrs. Many of those people would be tied to a stake, and the fire would be starting to lick up their legs and burning them, and they'd be singing some song, praising God. All you got to do is denounce Christ and we'll get you out of that fire. They just sung on. How does that happen? It takes preparation before you get to the fire. And then when you're in the fire, you need to give everything to God and say, God, I just love you. You got me to this place, you'll get me out of this place. And surrender that to the Lord. Do you know tonight anybody can serve God when everything's going good? Anybody can worship God when you're having good times. But can you worship Him when everything around you is falling apart? So they were heading into the fire. They made preparation. While they was in the fire, they were praising the Lord. And the last thing tonight, they came out of the fire. They came out of the fire. Look down here in verse 26. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes and governors, captains, and the kings, counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was the hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed off. Look, their God protected them in the storm. Same God that you got tonight. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." Going into the fire, there was preparations made. In the fire, there was praise. Coming out of the fire, I believe that's where a lot of times we fall so short. A lot of times we get bitter in the storm. We get mad. We get disgruntled. What did they do coming out of the fire? They made much of the God that protected them and got them through the fire. And because of what they did coming out of the fire, look at the emphasis it had on the other people. And I'm saying tonight, as we go through this life, as we go through struggles, as we go through the storms of this life, yes, there's preparation. Yes, there's storms. But friend, tonight, as we're coming in and going out and making it through these storms, we need to be a testimony of how great our God really is. People need to hear us bragging on the Lord. People need to see that's where our strength truly is. How do you get through it? It was the Lord. Brag on Him. Make much of Him. That their hearts can see, hey, I need that God. So, there's coming a lot more storms. What are we going to do? We can quit. But I'll be honest with you. I don't want to quit. There's something inside of me that tells me not to quit. I hope you got something inside of you that way. I'm not no superhero. I just know tonight what God did for me. Tonight, you need to start purposing some things. Y'all think I'm crazy. I've said it before. I took them shopping a little bit this week. I sat there in my car looking at all the nuts out there. And I thought, what am I going to do when that guy comes up? I was putting scenarios through my mind. Because I don't trust people. There's crazy people out there. Young people are playing fun games called knockout and hitting people in the head. You ought to have fire detectors in your house. Why? Because it might be a fire. You make preparations for that. What about for the storms that come into our lives? You can't wait till the storm gets here. Then what are you going to do in the storm? And just as important what you do in the storm is what you do out of the storm. God used them to speak to people. God can use your storm to speak to people. It might give these young people some boldness. It might give somebody else some boldness. Tonight, what do you do? What do you do? Let's stand together this evening.